Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Rusty Quill presents.
Hey everyone, Alex Italanda here. This will be a shorter intro. If you want the full one, check out the first part of the Behind the Ostima series, which I highly recommend if you want to do this in order. And if you enjoyed the first episode and would like access to the whole series, you can do that on the Ostium Network Patreon at patreon.com/ostiumpodcast. At the $5 tier, you can get access to the 40-plus episodes of the Behind the Ostium series, plus ad-free episodes of the Ostium Network shows, and a whole bunch of bonus material. So let's get started with the next episode of Behind the Ostium, where I sit down with Dwayne Farver of the Manifestations podcast and a big fan of the show, and we talk about the ins and outs of our favorite show, the Ostium podcast.
So then we've got the Visitors episode, and that's when we have the cavalry fully arriving. And it was, I wanted to be careful here with setting up this dynamic because you have, again, these outsiders coming in, whereas now Ostium has, in a way, connected to Jake and knows he's important and also has embraced Monica in a way. And now there's further intruders here. And I wanted to be clear that these were definitely a different sort of intruder that weren't being allowed in Ostium. That's why they weren't able to get through the headquarters door, the clock tower door. That's why they were, when they fired at it, they weren't able to break through. And I feel I had was that Monica could somehow sense that in some way, or had an idea that that's what it was going to be, which was why she was calm about it when they opened fire on the door, whereas Jake was totally losing it. And it was also an opportunity for me to use a machine gun, so I had fun with that sound effect.
So I do have a note that I liked how Jake wanted to trust Monica, which is kind of he was being uncharacteristically cautious. Mm-hmm. But just by the words he was using, you could tell he wanted to trust her.
Right.
And that, going back to the group coming in.
Well, I think that was also that he'd found someone, he knew that there was someone else in Ostium, which he was immediately, I think, attached to, being like, oh, good, I'm not just alone here on my own. So there was, I think that connection happened right away, yeah.
Along with trusting her, it was a way for him to kind of prove to himself that he wasn't going insane, that this really was happening,
Mm-hmm. Right. That's a very good point to make. Yeah, that it wasn't all possibly in his head. This wasn't a dream that he was just going to wake up from one day and be back in his normal world or something. Yeah, that kind of tenuous connection to say, this is really happening to me. It's happening to us. Just like when you're in a haunted house or some unfamiliar setting where when you have someone else there, it helps to also give you confidence and more willing to
exactly
challenge yourself. Yep. And be braver.
And I believe after this scene, when the soldiers then leave, Jake will then take the final drive back to his apartment to
right. Mm-hmm.
Break all the final ties with our world.
Yeah, I wanted to make it a kind of a big deal, yeah, because it was the last, because you're in the back of your mind, you're still thinking, well, he still has a chance always to come back. There's still always a way out that he could just leave and that would be it. So I wanted to do one last time where he could go back to get somebody. But also the point I was making was that he didn't necessarily need anything from back home because he had supplies there. Now he had another person he could work with. There wasn't really anything that he needed from back home, except that it wasn't Ostium. It was his former life, his real world sort of thing. So I wanted to kind of make that a big deal that he went back just one last time that as he was leaving, he felt Ostium pulling on him like a long stretched rubber band, and that he had to make the hard choice then of whether he was going to leave Ostium or make the decision and stay with Ostium and leave his world, which was what he ended up doing, obviously, was staying with Ostium. And then having the kind of big conflict scene then with his friend that he didn't really know was that close of a friend, wasn't even that aware of, and then they have a big argument, and he wonders why he was even ever considered himself friends with this person, to just kind of create a more clear severing of his world from Ostium. And that's why after that moment, he knows he's just done. He wants to be out of this and wants to leave it all behind and go back to Ostium for good and make the commitment. So I wanted to make sure that was clear so that that way you wouldn't think later on, well, maybe he just want, you know, he can always just go back again. He's never really trapped there in Ostium, you know. He'd made the decision at that point that he was staying for good.
Then the final note I have is that I liked the tie of the Sound of the Blackness to Pink Floyd, the Division Bell.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I had to put that little tidbit in there, that Easter egg, because when I started developing the Blackness as its own entity, almost its own character at this point, the sound I heard in my head was that, and also it was the off the Stephen King story, The Langoliers, which they did a terrible straight-to-TV movie of. Well, so actually the movie wasn't too bad. It was just the effects were really cheesy because it was like for the 90s. So the actual Langoliers, which are these things that are eating the world, look very cheesy and bad because it was bad CGI. But that sound I had in my head, as well as this song, which is the first song on the Division Bell album from Pink Floyd called Cluster One, this kind of popcorn-y popping sound, that's what I had in my head as I was developing the Blackness, and I wanted to show later on where I could to make little nods to it that this is where I got it from and what I was hearing in my head.
Very good. One of my favorite albums.